the announcement last night that 70.7% of those who wrote matric last year passed their exams. That's a decline from the previous year, which saw a pass rate 5% higher. At the same time, it now appears there are huge differences in the quality of education being provided in the different provinces. The Western Cape and Gauteng getting the best results. The Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo getting much poorer results. We start today with a briefing underway by the Gauteng Education MEC, Panyaza Lesufi. EWN's Masego Rakgaga is there for us. Masego, good afternoon to you. What is Lesufi saying about that pass rate of 84.2% in Gauteng?
Good afternoon, Stephen. Well, as you know, in 2014, Gauteng took the number one spot for the pass rate, for matriculants pass rate in 2014. He is happy about the 84.2% for 2015. He explained that this is because Gauteng actually took the most number of pupils who registered. Gauteng registered over 100,000 pupils compared to about 80,000 to 90,000 in the previous year. So he did attribute the pass rate of 84.2% to that. But of course, he is a bit disappointed that he was number one and now he's number two. But he is extremely proud, Stephen, and he's been talking about how much they were able to encourage those matriculants who had failed either once or twice before and had given up, as Minister Angie Motshekga said yesterday. He says even in that aspect of things, Gauteng was actually leading in encouraging those people to come back and write, and that actually added on to the amount of people who, pupils rather, who registered to write the matric exam.
Masego, we've seen some changes recently to education in this province. There's been the introduction of internet access. That's been playing out over a long time, but now there are computer tablets for learners. Does Lesufi believe that's played a role?
Yes, definitely he does, Stephen. He feels that besides the fact that teachers in Gauteng had to be retrained because of the paperless classrooms, he feels that the pupils were more interested in learning because of the technology that they were introduced to. Things like you said, the tablets and the chalkboards are a thing of history in most Gauteng schools, especially in the townships nowadays, Stephen. You'll go into a classroom and actually it's a classroom that actually has imagery that can move, and teachers can actually circle with color. So he says that color and that imagery that can move and the technology actually, he feels that motivated the pupils to study more and actually do better last year.
What's expected to change? Is he introducing any big changes for the matrix of 2016?
Well, actually, he hasn't said anything about his plans for the matric of 2016. He spoke more about, Stephen, the fact that Gauteng actually had about 107,000 pupils registered to write the NSC. And basically 90,000 of those pupils passed, and the 17,000 that didn't pass, he spoke more about those pupils and the kind of support that the department is going to give to those pupils. They will be going into a program that actually helped them, because the schools found that those pupils actually failed. Most of them actually failed because of not being able to understand the work as much as other pupils, so basically special needs. And he concentrated more on those pupils and how the department is not going to give up, how the department is going to get them into this program. It's called the TEPO 500,000 program. It's for those pupils who need support, because he wants to ensure that those pupils actually do get an NSC sometime at some point.
That's EWN's Masego Rakgaga, part of our team around the country focusing on this story today. Masego, thank you. There'll be more reports from her and, of course, her colleagues in Cape Town this afternoon. Meanwhile, listening to that for us is Professor Sarah Gravett. She's the Executive Dean of the Faculty of Education at the University of Johannesburg. Professor, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time today. The headline, of course, the headline, of course, is going to be this drop in the pass rate, a 5% drop, 5% lower than last year. Is that a significant drop? Does that number matter to you?
You know, it has always been my view that we make too much of this number, the percentage of pass. Of course, to pass is important for every single matriculant. But much more important is to look at, in a more nuanced way, at the quality of passes and to look at the full picture before one gets too excited about either that the pass rate has improved or the pass rate has declined. It's a very simplistic way to look at it.
The Education Department itself, Angie Motshekga, the minister, is talking about the problems in the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo. One can't help but feel that the gap between schools in urban areas and schools in rural areas is actually growing.
Yeah, that is indeed very concerning. You know, having said that, I don't think a drop is necessarily very significant, but the big drop that we had in those provinces and the fact that we don't see progress in those provinces is indeed a serious concern. Of course, again, the situation is quite complicated. You know, the rural to have interventions in rural areas are more complicated than doing the same interventions in your metropolitan areas. Schools are far apart. There's lots of travelling to be done, and also the schools in those areas are often not well resourced. You know, we sitting in Johannesburg, used to good, well-resourced schools, often can't imagine the circumstances at many of those schools, and also very important, the socioeconomic situation of many of the learners. So all of this come into play. But having said that, I really think there's also a leadership problem in those provinces. If you want to turn around education, you need strong leadership at all the levels. From the MEC, from the head of department, from the district officials, from the school principals, everybody must exhibit commitment and leadership. And if that is not the case, to turn around these provinces would be very difficult. And, you know, if one looks at some of the issues that have been identified in terms of exams, last year the mass copying, again this year copying, some of this took place in KwaZulu-Natal. If one thinks about what happened last year in terms of the report with regard to posts that are being sold, again, some of these provinces seem to be implicated. So I think there's a bigger problem there that needs to be addressed.
I suppose what almost proves what you're saying is the fact that the Limpopo Education Department was under the control of the national government for several years. The Eastern Cape Education Department's been under national government's administration, I think, more times than I can actually count. And yet nothing seems to change.
Yeah, you know, I think that what is so sad in those provinces is that education is really used as a political playboy ball, and there's so much infighting and political infighting that education is not being prioritized by people who are supposed to be in education. So one really hopes that there would be a very critical look at what happens in those provinces and that that a drastic steps will have to be taken. And it's also about accountability, of course, you know, accountability at all levels.
The world of work is changing very quickly now, Professor. I mean, it's changing more quickly now, I'm sure, than at any other time in human history. Are our children, even those at, Santon Primary or Houghton High or whatever, are they being taught the right thing to actually survive in a fast-moving world?
What remains as absolutely crucial, and we should never forget that, are the basic stuff. Basic things that they need to learn. You know, to be able to function in any fast-changing world, you need strong literacy. To be able to function in a world that focuses a lot on technology, you need strong math skills, etc. So you need excellent language abilities. So all of that forms the basis. And I do think at the moment we still, in our primary schools, struggle with this. Now, unless this is not addressed, then we can't really do the other nice things very well. Of course, what is also required is that we need learners who are able to think independently, who are more creative, who are able to adapt to change. And all of these are important, but if the basic things are not in place, these others, in a sense, become irrelevant. And then also, I do think, you know, if one looks at our education system at the moment, we actually sadly still have two education systems in one. Some schools that are really doing very well with excellent teachers, and then many schools that are basically not even doing the basic things well, and that is very concerning.
Professor Sarah Gravett, thanks very much indeed. Executive Dean of the Faculty of Education at the University of Johannesburg, on the line from Joburg.
It's summer
on your number one news
and talk station,
702 and Cape Talk.
Quarter past 12 the time on the midday report. Confirmation early this morning from North Korea that it has exploded its first hydrogen bomb after an earth tremor was felt near what Pyongyang says is its atomic test site. Steve Vines is our correspondent in Asia. He's on the line now from Hong Kong. Steve, good day to you. The Americans and the South Koreans, are they convinced this actually was a hydrogen bomb?
No, they're not. They're still looking into this. What they do know, and particularly the Americans know this because they've got measurement equipment out there, is that this was a very large seismic shock. And it did, as you've just said, come from an area in which there have been three previous nuclear tests. So something happened at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. North Korea says categorically it's a hydrogen bomb. It may well be that. It's not known. There's no evidence been adduced to the fact that that was the type of bomb that was exploded. Previously, North Korea has tested atomic weapons, which are, of course, are less powerful. And in terms of the delivery capability of the North Koreans, we still don't know whether they can really deliver a bomb like this at any range. Although previously, again, just recently, they have been doing tests with submarine launch missiles. So things do appear to be coming together. It's just their exact extent and exactly what they're doing remains unknown.
I would imagine if it was a hydrogen bomb and it could be launched from a submarine, that would almost change the game when it comes to North Korea. It would be in a much more powerful position.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, this is why the United Nations Security Council is meeting today to discuss this development. I don't think you can underestimate how important this is. The problem, as ever, with North Korea is the gap between what is announced in Pyongyang, the North Korean capital, and the reality on the ground. I mean, it may be that what's happened is a bigger development of their atomic capability, but not